This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh, I'm really excited for this one. This is my favorite song of all time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I knew you liked it. I know it was your number one.
It's always been, since 2005, this has been my number one.
Always started at 2005.
Seriously, yeah. I don't remember anything. Everyone knows that the summer of 2005 was the finest summer.
BC, AD,
that's how 2005. That's how I look at my life.
Bad Chris, after the best summer of my life, boys.
Before Fast Car and after Fast Car.
Well, let's listen to it.
Let's check it out.
Well, let's check it out. I hate this. I don't know how to do this. This is all so weird on the last one. I hate it. I know I have to hit it. It's just, it's the last time I'm ever going to hit it. Okay.
You must.
Okay. Can you give me a pep talk, please? I'm really scared to hit it.
I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't really see
hit the
what
theme.
You're
I've never, this is my last time ever hitting the theme song.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's good. you can keep hitting it. Like when in you're on time,
like
in the retirement home. No, I mean like after this.
Oh,
I mean like in your life after this, wherever you go, you could just keep doing this in Cabo.
Okay, I'm gonna do it now.
When you're in a delusional on the beach.
I used to be somebody.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hi, or should I say goodbye? This is my last episode of Punch Up the Jam, and I am not going to be normal. I don't know how. This is so weird. I'm really excited to have with me, effectively my co-host of the Year of Our Devil 2020, Christopher Frankus Fleming. Thank you, Christopher.
Good night, folks.
This podcast this year, I don't know how I would have gotten through it if it hadn't been for you. So it only feels appropriate to send the show off with you. And I'm excited to listen to your all-time favorite song together.
I would argue this is the only song.
The only song that's ever existed.
Yeah.
I like that. I grabbed two comments from the Patreon about this song. One,
which you're destroying, right? You're blowing the Patreon up in the yard?
I'm shooting the Patreon into space at the end of this.
Yeah.
I just feel like you have to burn it all down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I follow these impulses in my life of like career choices that my heart says something. My head goes, no, don't do that. That's a dumb idea. And my heart goes, sorry, folks, this is what's happening. And so I'm just going to end it all.
Totally. Totally.
So I grabbed two comments from the Patreon. One is how I feel about the song, and one is about how the song serves this podcast to be the final episode. Okay?
Oh, great. I do need to know. Yeah. I do need to hear how the comments are going to be categorized before I hear them. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's the last episode. I'll do what I please. Stella Williams says, this song feels like being six in the back seat of my mom's maroon Subaru, rubbing out a stain on the gray knit seats while it's raining really hard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time I heard, it was in the car with my parents.
Isn't that exactly how it feels?
Totally.
But you didn't hear it till 2005 somehow. This song came out in 88.
I had heard it. It didn't. So the first song I ever liked was
I Want You by Savage Garden.
Right.
We already covered it on the pod.
And then the next time I really remember, okay, then Eagle Eye Cherry in Sixth Grade, Save Tonight. And
of course.
Then going back from the Museum of Fine Art in Boston, summer of 05, with my parents, Chapman comes on the radio. I say, turn this up, please. And then I became obsessed, so obsessed with it sorry, keep going with the comments.
No, I want to hear more about it. You're the guest.
Yeah, I don't know why it just completely blindsided. It just hit me.
I know why.
Why?
Because it's one of the greatest songs ever written. This was like my number three unpunchable jam, I think, ever in the history of the show. I think I chose this on the third episode.
It reminds me of every single memorable time in my life.
All at once.
This song. I've listened to the songs so much.
They come crashing down over you.
Yeah.
In a melee of nostalgia.
But it's also like right when you're graduating high school and you're like, oh, am I going to be anybody? And I could be someone.
This is the unofficial high school senior slideshow anthem, right?
But you also know that maybe you're not going to be someone. And I felt that way. Like maybe, like there is something so deeply knowing that you're doomed also, there's something romantic about that.
I also will say this song's certainly about the poverty cycle, so it is very...
Yes.
It is very typical of us to be cherry-picking the parts that apply to us and being like, yeah, yes, same, go off. But I think that is the nature of listening to a song and relating to it, right? It doesn't need to be a literal interpretation.
But how human is it to have hope even when you know...
Well, that's the thing. While listening to this critically for this episode, I think there is like a subtle sad catharsis throughout an arc, throughout the song I've never picked up on before.
What do you mean?
Oh, we'll get to it, but I have a couple notes first.
I have to head out.
So do I, bitch!
Oh my God. Are you on a... She's on a lawnmower. Souped up.
Okay, so... It won Best Female Pop Vocal at the 1988 Grammys, and Tracy Chapman won Best New Artist. However, she lost a couple.
Oh, dear.
She lost Song of the Year and Record of the Year to the same song, same artist. Any guesses?
I have to guess who she lost to?
Is yes, a female same artist? One. Nope, male artist.
Okay, 88. Sting.
That's such a good guess. Very, very close. Some might say the poor man's Sting, Bobby McFerrin. The song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Do, 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 do. I could not think of a more polar opposite than Fast Car than Don't Worry, Be Happy. Yeah. Although in a way, kind of the same, huh?
Huh?
It's like a hopeful message being shot into the ocean.
Does Bobby McFerrin, he scats too, right? Doesn't he have like an impossible register? And
the B-side of Don't Worry, Be Happy is zoop zabby dee dabby.
Doesn't he have like a whole album where he just impersonates a trumpet or something?
You're thinking of the Lou Bega B-sides. The trumpet.
Beep, 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 beep. Maybe. Yeah, okay. Okay, Bobby McFerrin won that.
Will you please not say maybe to what I just did? Maybe.
I'm just being
yeah,
polite.
Yeah, maybe Lou Bega did
That's
that.
Your last episode. I'm being polite.
Don't be polite now.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't do that now. Don't betray me in the 11th hour.
I'm in the emergency exit being courteous. My keys are in my hand. I'm deleting your number and I'm like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's a really good joke you made. Thank you for it.
What are you going to do next? I'm looking beyond you.
Rolling Stone.
Looking to see if anyone else is in the building.
Rolling Stone ranked the song 167 on their list of 500 greatest songs of all time.
167?
Way too low. That should have been number 8?
1.
7.
One.
One.
Seriously, I'm not kidding.
Number one.
It's so good. Justin Bieber does a cover of it.
And everyone's covered it.
And I was like, he didn't even know the words. He fucks up all the words. I'm like, I respect this man infinitely more than I did before he did this.
See, I remember when we were grabbing your toe, scooting around like I was drunk.
I remember when we were lifting, Uber and pool.
I'm glad you brought up the covers. I'm sick of the covers. I don't think anyone should ever cover this song. I think it's one of the songs that you don't touch.
I disagree.
What?
I believe this and Last Christmas, it should be an ordinance that we have to. Every American should have to cover it. Seriously.
Americans only? What are you, a xenophobe?
No, you can do it. I'm saying it should be an American. I can't dictate European law or Asian law or Australian law. I'm saying in America, all I have control over is my own state. And I'm my country and I'm a patriot.
Vous avez un auto vite. Très, très vite.
Ah, très bien.
Okay, but what about Coco people Shops. Remixing the song?
Jonas Blue?
Thank you. Yes, the Jonas Blue. This is a version of Fast Car made by Jonas Blue featuring Dakota from 2015.
I've used this in every one of my videos.
So you like this?
I use it as, it's a great, like, it's perverse. It's like an aquarium remix, right?
Yeah, see, my issue is everything. I just have a lot of issues.
Okay.
But also this peaked higher. This version peaked higher in the UK than Tracy Chapman's version.
Yeah.
That, listen, I'm just going to play for you. Make up your
own
mind.
She's too graceful. That's the best. She does it and she doesn't put any frills on it. And then other people come and they do this shit and then they get more credit. No, it's...
Here, listen. You like this? I didn't know you scouted like Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby's here.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the last episode of the pod, we got Bobby McFerrin!
I used to change it to Chrome. I speed so fast, I felt like I was crunk.
I like changing car.
To what?
You got a fast
Geo.
Horse.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You got a fast bicycle. You got a fast leg.
You got a fast mobile house. You got a fast house that you can put on wheels that you drive on the highway. You know those? The oversized load.
That requires three cars, mm-hmm. even though two cars are just for show.
You got a fast, brother.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned Tracy Chapman being too graceful, because I have a crazy story. I know you already know, but for the sake of the pod, pretend you don't know it, okay?
I might not know this.
You do.
Okay.
I already asked you if the words Nelson Mandela 70th birthday tribute, Wembley Stadium, Stevie Wonder walkout, yeah. does that mean anything to you?
The answer is yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to read from the wiki the entire passage, because it is. I don't know if any of it's true. Stevie Wonder landed in the UK on the Saturday morning of the concert.
Landed.
Yes.
He sounds supernatural.
The Wikipedia always makes things sound more whimsical than they deserve to be.
Yeah.
Remember, now this is Nelson Mandela's 70th birthday tribute, like a giant fucking festival at Wembley Stadium, which seats, what, 100,000 people? It's gigantic.
I believe it is 98,000.
Okay. I'm going to take a seat. Saturday morning of the concert and went straight to Wembley Stadium, where a room was prepared for him and his band to warm up. I don't know why that's relevant information. I'm keep going. He was to appear in the evening after UB40. His appearance had not been announced. UB40 were finishing their set on the main stage. And
isn't UB40 who Brett Kavanaugh thought he was fighting that night? Seriously.
There was some UB40 tie-in.
He beat up a guy because he thought he was, or slapped
him. He listened to too much Red Red
Wine.
He thought
it was UB40, the lead singer, and it wasn't.
Wonder's equipment.
That is a closeted man. Thinking
okay, we're
that
not
you
talking
spot
about
UB40
that.
On the street.
Okay, we're not talking about that. Wonder's equipment was set up, plugged in, and ready to be rolled on after a 10-minute act on a side stage. He was about to walk up the ramp to the stage when it was discovered that the hard disk of his synclav, I don't know how to pronounce this, and I didn't practice.
That's filthy. The hard disk of his synclav?
Synclavier? I think that's like a synth situation you can load stuff onto. Like a, I don't know.
No, Mio. No, Mario.
What is it?
That's how you save the children from Krampus. That's the tool that you use to take them out of the Krampus pit.
Synclavier?
Yes.
Carrying all 25 minutes of synthesized music for his act was missing. He said he could not play without it, turned around, walked down the ramp crying, with his band and other members of his entourage following him and out of the stadium. I don't believe that. That sounds like the saddest Stevie Wonder parade I've ever heard of. I don't know how the Wikipedia has this knowledge that he walked down the ramp crying with, like, Christmas time is here, his entourage behind him.
It's so funny that people love to add that they saw someone, that someone was crying in a story. Like, it's like,
you,
it's so not important
life.
To know. Like, this is, we don't need to know that he was, like, who leaked that?
Personal life, Stevie Wonder profile, was once seen crying walking out of Wembley Stadium.
It's so voyeuristic. Okay.
There was an urgent need to fill the gap he had left, and Tracy Chapman, who had already performed her act, agreed to appear again. She obviously played earlier in the day. This is now me talking. She obviously played earlier in the day at, like, a much less coveted slot.
Right.
And so now she's relatively unknown at this time. And
she's just got a guitar.
Just a guitar on her.
Yep.
Back to the quote. The two appearances shot her to stardom with two songs from her recently released album, Fast Car and Talking About a Revolution. Before the concert, she had sold about 250,000 albums, so not that unknown, but whatever. In the following 2 weeks, she was said to have sold 2 million.
And it's such a great example of looking beyond, like, the venue that you're performing at, because if you watch the clip, like, everyone's just, like, talking and barbecuing over Fast Car.
Yeah.
And they're, like, their backs are turned to the stage, and she's, like,
she just keeps going. She just, like, perseveres.
She's on, like, a tarp, and it's, like, 12 p.m., and
I have a clip. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. I highly recommend you look this up, by the way. Tracy Chapman, Fast Car, Wembley, 1988. It's got 3 million views.
Get a fast car. I want to get to anywhere.
Like, she's so
maybe
nervous.
We make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere.
This is what every college gig is like. Starting from zero. It's performing in a cafeteria and no one's
maybe
listening.
We'll, are we going to talk about how incredibly hot Tracy Chapman is at any point?
Sure.
Giant stage, just her and her acoustic guitar.
You understand this is how I spend, like, 5 years of my life, just watching her doing this live on in different YouTube clips?
I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights
so much fun. I can't handle this. It's making me emotional.
Around my shoulder and I, had a feeling that I belong. I had a feeling I could be someone.
You can't really take this in new. Like, if you haven't seen this before, and you're in, like, I understand why the audience is just kind of like,
they're overwhelmed.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like,
a lot of new information.
Who's this? Whoa, it's just a guitar?
Feeling. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. All right, I'll check this out. I'm a little day drunk and I've eaten too many pretzels and I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with everyone I've ever seen in my whole life, but I feel like I'm going to cry here in this hole.
Whenever the chorus comes in, my lungs swap.
Like, my kidneys fall out.
There's no prepping for what that chorus does.
Do you want to hear the rest of that story about how Stevie Wonder repaired his situation?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
it's no longer relevant to Tracy Chapman, but I do find it interesting.
I don't know the Stevie Wonder part at all. All I know is the Tracy part of it.
So Tracy gets that opportunity. She absolutely knocks it out of the park. The entire audience is on their knees screaming, Tracy, Tracy.
Oh, really?
No, none of that's true.
Oh.
Wonder returned to the stadium, but turned down the request to use the same equipment as the present act on the main stage, Whitney Houston. Other members of the band said they would use other people's equipment. Finally, with time running out, Wonder agreed. Houston finished with three encores, and the next act, Salt and Peppa, started on the side stage using 3 minutes and 30 seconds of pre-approved stage time. Following Salt and Peppa's performance, there was no announcement, no sound from the main stage unit. Out of the darkness came the opening lines of I Just Called to Say I Love You with a huge roar from the audience. The lights came on and Wonder went to the rest of the set. With the loss of the programmed hard disk, he shouted the change of notes to the band.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, I love that shit.
Okay, that last quote I grabbed was from the Patreon. Longtime patron. She comments on everything. I love her. And I'm going to mispronounce her name on purpose. Rochelle Boisson. I'm convinced this song absolutely possesses superpowers, and yes. I could not imagine a better jam for Punch Up the Jam to drive off into the sunset to in a fast car.
It's a hard sentence to read. Is that a cognitive test?
I agree completely, yeah. Rochelle.
It is super. It has superpowers.
It's perfect.
There's nothing to say about it.
I know. This was a terrible thing for a podcast.
It's too good. I don't want to make a single joke about it.
Oh, you know what I'm realizing? I forgot.
No.
I don't care anymore. This is the last episode. This is a kickback episode. This is the party after the party that just you and your little freaky friends are at, and you're all a little bit too fucked up to hang out, so you're just sharing space together in silence. That's what this episode is.
There's a dog. It's half deer, half dog. And you assume it's everyone's like, nah, this isn't mine.
The redheaded kid this in the group throws up, and then someone who's been passed out for 4 hours wakes up and goes, 0 points for Gryffindor.
Did I ever tell you about when I got kicked out of a party because they started to play Cards Against Humanity and I cheated too much because I had no respect for it?
How do you cheat that game?
I don't remember, but I was trying to make my friend Zabo laugh. And I think, I don't remember, but it was really egregious. And my friend Brian was trying to hook up with someone. He had his arm around the host. And they were like, you need to leave. And he was like, yeah, sorry, dude. I don't make the rules here, but you cheated. And you just
need. You got evicted for cheating.
And I just remember walking backwards and Brian waving. And you ever get kicked out of a game night?
You get a fast car. I really love that the title of the song is the first line of the song. It's like in the movie where they say the title, makes you want to scream immediately. Hey, I know it. There it was. I've heard that. When I clicked play, I saw that was the name, and now I'm hearing the name, and that is really gratifying.
Like when Bob Odenkirk comes out in Little Women.
Little Women. End credits, directed by Greta Gerwig.
I think I just love songs about cars. I don't like cars. But I love songs about Little Red Corvette is one of my top three as well. Fast Car.
Okay, what else?
Drive by the Cars.
Drive by Incubus.
PT Cruiser by Enterprise.
PT Cruiser by Phil Collins.
and obviously the idea of escape. I love the idea of escaping. I'm a flight risk. And
so you're an Aquarius. Yeah, we know that.
I need to be sitting by a door. I need to be facing a door. And I need to know I'm out and that I can get out.
I've learned that about you.
Thanks.
I also think that guitar refrain, it's so rare that such a simple little thing can be repeated so many times in a row.
That's all it is.
And never lose my interest.
I know.
The over and over and over again. And it just still
not
captivates
grating at all.
Me.
No. And it's like, I could listen to that on for a full day.
She goes on to say,
I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
I never want to clip this.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It does, yeah.
I love everything.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to just say that? Can I just say, very good.
Yeah.
Great.
In some of her live performances, she adds, it's like, the recording is sparser than the live stuff, that like her touring stuff. Like sometimes like she adds like more to the arrangement.
Guess here we just got a bass acoustic guitar and a little hi-hat.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about it. The way the song starts.
Oh, whenever that comes on.
Shit! Fuck! Move! I gotta go!
I just start braying. No, honestly, my nervous system, it just...
It washes over you. That guitar, too. There's something really hypnotic about this song. I think you could use this song for evil. I think you could radicalize people with the power of Fast Car, Tracy Chapp.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Yeah, you certainly could.
I also want to point out here, I know the song is obviously about breaking the poverty cycle, but how much does this feel like me as a dramatic kid threatening to run away?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why I so responded to it.
Packing a little knapsack, being like, I'm well, I guess if you don't want me, I will find elsewhere to sow my pasture.
But it's also about, like, you know, hanging your hat on an unreliable person, too, you know?
We haven't quite gotten there yet.
You can hear in her voice. Maybe we can...
Maybe together we can get somewhere.
But, like, you... You know we're not.
Maybe we'll make something.
Yeah.
Because me, myself, I got nothing to prove. To prove.
To prove?
To prove.
Oh, I thought it was lose.
No, but me, myself, I got nothing to prove is the tagline. If anyone asks why Miel left the podcast, that's what I'm going to say. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
That's my favorite Jim Carrey movie. It's really good.
I actually did try running away a few times, but what happened is
I would
march out into the woods with my little like gingham knapsack, which contained probably like a banana, a piece of gum, and like, I don't know, an Etch-A-Sketch.
There's no natural predators on your island.
Exactly. Just go sit behind a tree for a few hours thinking, surely they'll know I'm gone and come try to find me.
Right.
No one tries to find me. I start making a ton of noise, hoping they go, what's that? And someone will happen upon me and I can explain, this is what you get. I just sat here for a quick rest before I hit the dusty trail.
I hope you're happy.
And then no one comes for 2 hours and now I'm getting cold and I'm going, hello, just hoping someone comes looking. No one does. I finally get too cold, pack up my knapsack, erase my Etch-A-Sketch portrait of my dog that I drew from memory, come back in, catch
my... You Etch-A-Sketched out in the woods?
Of course I did.
That's so cute.
Come back in, my dad's sitting there going, hey. That's... Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
How old were you?
Which time?
You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living.
I have a bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm.
He or she has got the fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's carrying a disproportionate amount of that bargain. She made the plan. All they're supplying is the car.
It's a means to get out.
How fast could the car possibly be? How fast is the fast car?
Yeah, and all cars are pretty fast. You don't need a fast car to escape.
It could be a slow car.
You just need to locomote. The speed, unless you're being chased, doesn't. It's pretty inconsequential.
I got a moderately fast car. Yeah. It'll work fine to get us across the border. What border are they trying to get across to? She's from Cincinnati, I think.
Well, she went to school. I think she wrote this at Tufts, though. So she's talking about Massachusetts to New Hampshire to get fireworks. That's her plan. We can work at the New Hampshire Lucky Store. There's no state tax, so we can get a good discount. Then we can get some fireworks and have a nice time with black bears because they don't attack passersby unless you cyber bully their cubs.
The New Hampshire state motto, don't cyberbully the black bear cubs.
You got to really go out of your way to like get a black bear to attack you.
Okay, so if this is taking place in that region, then the border is to New Hampshire, okay.
Or Rhode Island, or Connecticut.
Wow, brag more. Someone knows their geography.
I don't know. No, I truly don't know geography. I'm just from Massachusetts.
Okay, Bragmore, convenience stores.
I famously tried to go south when I was 18 to get to New Hampshire from Massachusetts. I went on 495 south. I didn't understand anything. My family still ridicules me about it. They still push me downstairs and shove me into the furnace.
You're gonna cyberbully that black bear's cub, and that's gonna be how you die.
You little bitch, you don't know how to get to New Hampshire. That's what they say to me. They call me from a block number. Who is this? Stop!
I want to ask about the convenience store.
Okay.
I would never attempt to change any of these lyrics. I think this work is a masterpiece that should be framed somehow. I don't know how you frame a song. I'm working on the technology.
It's super hard.
It's so hard.
You got to frame fast.
And you got to have such a big mat. Anyways, if she were to have been more specific and maybe named the convenience store.
7-Eleven?
I was thinking, I've been working at the Piggly Wiggly. I've been working at the AMPM. I've been working, I think,
there's one in
the come and go.
That's the come and go. I was thinking about the, there's like, but don't they spell it like C-U-M? Like truly.
K-U-M.
K-U-M. It's like disgusting.
Come!
It's like.
And go!
You have two, yeah. You can.
You can either come or you go. Can go.
I blush whenever I see that. It's like only in. It's like Indiana or something.
Been working at the...
I think David Letterman owns it.
She played on the David Letterman show. She also recently played on the
Stand
Seth Meyers pre-election show.
No.
Talk about a revolution.
You think she would play on that tuba toothpaste show? You think she would play on that piece of coal, Seth Meyers?
Tuba toothpaste?
He's a tuba toothpaste, Seth Meyers. When you
what?
Close your eyes, if you don't think of his face, he is an upright tube of toothpaste.
Okay, so here's where we went wrong there. You were saying tube of toothpaste.
Oh, you're thinking tuba toothpaste.
Tuba toothpaste.
No.
Which
that,
I was
that's
like,
the
okay.
Nordic villain from Crumples.
I remember Bananas in Pajamas, but who is tuba toothpaste?
If you kids don't eat your veggies, tuba toothpaste is coming.
Yeah, that's right, folks. In Scandinavia, you have Krampus. Here, in the United States of America, that's his tune. It's tuba toothpaste.
Brush my teeth, tuba toothpaste. If you don't brush your teeth, I'm brushing it. Boy, I'm going to play low note. I'm going to brush, brush, brush.
Ah, it's tuba toothpaste. Fuck. Here it comes. I'd rather be dead.
I'm too Swiss for this.
Fuck. Get me out of here! I've long wondered what happens when you try to do a perfect song on this podcast, but there's nothing to say about.
I'm tuba toothpaste.
It's this.
Uh-huh. But wait, oh, but she did. You're right. Seth Meyers definitely hacked Tracy's laptop and got a recording of her doing.
You think Tracy has a laptop?
She's got one of those old iMacs that are like the Raspberry.
No, she has a book in the woods. You write in it. If you can find it, you write in it. Maybe she'll read your message.
You know Mel Gibson, when he goes out, he wears a mask? Like,
why are you mentioning Mel Gibson?
Well, because I imagine Tracy, you said she's in the woods. I think she's too safe. I feel like she lives in like a really cool, like probably like Somerville or something.
Conch.
What'd you say to me?
She lives in a conch.
A conch? No, she's not magical. That's
what?
Not, no, she is. She look,
take it back!
Kate Bush obviously lives in a meadow. We all know this.
Okay.
Or at the top of a... Beam
so
stuck.
Where does Tracy Chapman live?
Tracy's not unhinged like Kate Bush. Tracy probably like goes to the grocery. Tracy lives a life, but I'm saying that I could see her putting a mask on like Mel Gibson does. Mel Gibson has like a really high quality mask that he wears out.
I think Tracy's aura is so strong. I can't yes. imagine anyone being, I don't think she'd have to wear a mask. I mean, obviously, pandemic aside.
I've emailed her a bunch.
What's her email?
It was like 2006 through 2008. I would email like, it was like at info.com, Tracy Chapman at info or something.
And like, what did you say?
It's the only person besides Christina Aguilera that I emailed in seventh grade asking her to come perform with me at my middle school.
Chris.
Yeah.
But I thought you first heard the song in 2005. It was long after middle school for you.
No. I emailed Christina Aguilera. She's the only other celebrity that I've ever emailed. Besides Michael Cera hate mail.
What did that say?
I don't remember, but I didn't like Michael Cera. think I like wanted more from his performances or something. But I've come to appreciate them.
See, my old man's got a problem. He give with the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said, somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school, and that's what I did.
I said, somebody's got to take care of him.
So I quit school, that's what I did. I would usually...
Oh, man's got a problem. That's the best line. Lives with a bottle, that's the way it is.
His body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his.
That's the best.
I would venture that every line of this song is the best line.
It's so good.
Every line's the best line. And what's even crazier is this is not Tracy Chapman's story. This is entirely like a song she's just writing as a craftsman.
I know.
And it's so true, and it feels so real.
What shade at her dad? His butt that she's throwing right there.
I love that he lives with the bottle.
No, that's not shit. Wait, his body's too young to look like his. Right, because he's been drinking so much, his body looks bad.
Yeah, he's given up on his own life.
That's right.
And now it's going to ruin her life.
Wait, what's the line?
My old man's got a problem. He lives with a bottle. That's the way it is.
He says his body's too old for working. His body's, yeah. So she's saying that he, right, oh my God.
It's just going to continue the cycle. She's going to be bound to take care of this person. And also, I would venture, let's look at the parallels between this mother character that only gets this one line here and her role with this partner she's singing to in the song.
Mm. Who spends all the time at the bar with the kid instead of with the kids?
We don't know anything about that, do we?
Not yet.
We just know that they have a fast car.
Well, later she does say that.
She does?
Yeah. Spends all your time out at the bar instead of with your kids.
Yeah, that's true. I just had to scroll ahead and read, so I don't remember that at all. Man, I guess I really get focused on the first half of this song.
Sorry, I'm getting ahead.
It's okay. I want to point out, too, the song structure. This is really unusual for a hit, but honestly pretty unusual in modern music anyways. Like verse, 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 refrain, verse, verse, refrain, verse, refrain. I don't even know if there is one at the end. In my songwriting classes at UCLA Extension, shout out. They refer to this kind of song as an AABA song.
Mm.
Like Somewhere Over the Rainbow style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this is technically that, though, because this is a lot of verses. This would be like A-A-A-A-A-B, A-A-B. I'm not upset about it, though. I'm telling you, that little guitar noodle, I would slurp that up all day.
The pre-chorus doesn't even change, right? It's all just verse, the verse into chorus, right?
Well, the priest's chorus. The priest's chorus is the next part.
It doesn't change though. It's the guitar. Right.
Nothing changes.
Right, she just
strums in the chorus.
Yeah.
But also the line's the same. You got a fast car. It's the same as verse two. It's the same as verse one. We're really hitting it hard here. They have a fast car. Hey, hello. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. They have a fast car.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm emotionally prepared for the pre-chorus part. The last line of this, I mean, I already suspected I was going to cry this episode, but now I'm not doing myself any favors. Ready?
You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? You got to make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
Leave tonight. Or live and die this way.
I mean, that's true. If you're going to make a change, you got to make it immediately. Otherwise, you're fucked.
Also just...
I mean, wait till morning because you're going to drive. You're probably, if it's dark out, you should just wait. We'll do leave in the morning.
So your note to the line is, maybe not tonight.
You're saying, see, that's why I'm fucked.
Leave tomorrow morning or live and die this way.
I'm going to live and die if you don't make that change immediately.
Yeah, because you wake up the next morning and you go, I'm going to have breakfast and then I'm going to leave.
Yeah, right.
Then you'd have your breakfast and you go, oh, I got to take a shower and then I'm going to leave.
Right.
Well, I should probably pack a little more before I go. Okay, I'm just going to get my room clean and then I'm going to leave.
Right.
I'm just going to, you know what? I should really get my room ready to go. So I'm just going to go ahead and sell all my stuff and then I'm going to leave.
I should call Brian.
And then I'm going to leave.
Yeah. I should sketch Brian.
No, you got to drive your car so fast that it flies and you got to do it now. Again, this is, I don't mean to diminish this song, but I will say as a little kid listening to this, I was like, same.
No, you're not diminishing it. Like you can, I'm like, you can relate to it even though it's not your story specifically. Like, this is not my story, obviously, at all. But I've never related to anything like I've related to this, except for maybe Amelie soundtrack.
Well, I mean, neither of us were born into the poverty cycle. So I think there is something we need to be aware of the, like, repurposing content that not necessarily ours.
You don't have my tax returns. You don't have my
I mean, when you're born with, like, a sick parent that, like, can't take care of themselves, like, that can really be a fucking death sentence for a child. I mean, what can you do about that?
I don't relate to things that are, like, I don't think I relate to things the right way. Like, I don't relate to things.
What's the right way?
Like, people be like, oh, this story is my story. Like, I don't feel, like, I relate to, like, a feeling or, like, a line or, like a
you're more micro.
I think I'm more micro.
You like the micro example, not the macro story.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever been aware of my macro story.
I think for
Gary, my friend Gary, like a long time ago, he's talking about how the Beastie Boys, what they meant to him growing up and how like he related. And I told him this was the song that I related to. And he's like, what are you talking? What are you talking about?
My God, you grew up middle class in Massachusetts. What are you talking about?
You grew up in Stowe. You were fine. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe it's just that pressure to feel like you need to make something of yourself. I mean, you could definitely distill that as just a really quick scan takeaway. I mean, Spark Notes takeaway.
Yeah. I mean, I love to locomote. I love the juxtaposition of hope and helplessness. And like trying to rev yourself up to know that you're, even though you know you're fucked, but like, I think that's about the performance or in the words or something. Just like the nobility or the grace about that she's thinking that this is going to stop, but it's not.
Well, I almost feel, maybe I'm reading into it too much, but I almost feel like she knows.
This is a song. She does know.
Like this character, obviously, she's not singing as herself, but this character knows that she's fucked before the song even started.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is almost like her trying to get herself amped up to be like, maybe we could do it. Like, maybe we can. You know, this is her William Wallace speech to herself.
Yeah.
That even by the end of the song, she's like, you know what? Never mind. You go ahead.
It's why I love the movie Crazy Heart so much.
Sounds like a song you've always known. Now that's a good song.
Oh, in the end, you know that this man from the get-go, that he's not going to, like, he's helpless and he's going to be alone. And there's something very romantic to me about that.
That's a huge bummer. And I say no thank you.
Okay.
I'm hitting the chorus. Are you prepared?
Yes, I'm prepared.
I'm going to punch.
What? Are you going to punch?
Ready?
So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone.
Also, remember just driving someone. As a teen, what that felt like?
Oh, when that part comes on? And you slam it to vol max.
No, just driving in general. Just like driving with someone late at night. But I mean, of course, to this as well. But
this,
like,
is the best driving song ever.
Yeah.
You want to have a weird cry about your whole life at the same time? Bus, fast car, on a road trip alone.
Your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder.
I will
it's
say,
so simple.
Until reading that lyric today, I have always heard, here, maybe you can hear it. I'll just ask you to say, what do you hear when you hear this? Your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. What does that sound like to you?
Your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder.
You only hear arm felt nice?
Yeah.
I heard arms and legs.
Okay.
Arms and legs wrapped around my shoulder.
She's a Cirque du Soleil. Yeah.
I was trying to imagine. I'm like, okay, so you're giving them...
You can get pulled over for that. You can't.
Piggyback ride? And they were...
And they're doing a full koala baby on your
back. On the neck.
Back. On the neck.
On the neck.
They're shimmying up you.
Maybe it's about a baby with a fast car. There was never anything explicitly romantic about the person with the fast car.
No, it's true. They have a plan, an escape plan, yeah.
Maybe she's befriended a three-year-old child.
Yeah.
Your arms and legs wrapped around my shoulder. Maybe it's a non-human. Maybe it's like one of those situations where some rich, kooky person donates their entire life savings when they die to some animal.
It's
a koala that has like an impala.
Like a blank check. Type movie.
Yeah. Like old Froofy McGrubbins left her $1 billion estate to her dog. Tracy Chapman's like, you got a fast car, Spike. I would like to drive us into Canada. Also, that. So remember when we were driving.
Yeah, oh my
bow!
But right, it's I don't know how it packs that intensity because she's not even raising her voice.
Because she made us wait for it. She edged us. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to, though.
It's fine.
It is what she did.
Who are you apologizing to?
I don't know. Myself, I guess. My integrity. It's fine. She did. Yeah. She did. She made us wait for how long?
A minute and a half, I think.
Until the chorus?
I think it's like 1 minute, 27 seconds.
And she also makes us wait till halfway through the chorus to the part you want to sing along to. And I had a feeling that I belong. That's the part I think that anyone who's just like a casual listener, not really paying attention to the song, they go, uh-huh. I too have felt like I haven't belonged.
I think it's the felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. I think it's because they're hitting the drums in the
more than a hi hat.
Yeah,
more than a hi hat. Perfect opportunity for a little break. I've got a podcast. It's anthem of 2021. Every single person tweeting, I've got a podcast. Please give it 5 stars on iTunes reviews. I don't know what it does, but my producer says that it really helps.
Find it anywhere you can find podcasts.
Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple's iTunes podcast store. What is it called?
It's Six Men Laughing Too Hard.
Add some content that's existed for many years. Now you see why we got to get out while the getting's good.
Yeah.
Podcasts over. Calling it now. You know what we're moving on to?
Xerox.
We're bringing back Xerox machines.
Yeah, what are you going to do after this? Where are you going to go?
Well, that's my secret, isn't it?
It's okay, yeah. Yeah.
I think...
Did you just flash a holster?
I'm trying to have a career like a Tracy Chapman. I want to have a career where it's like, you know so little.
I don't know if you've gone off on the right foot for that.
I think I'm going to have a lot to delete and scrub from the internet.
Yeah.
A lot of you are going to have to forget all about this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to maintain some air of mystery.
Yeah. You might need to retroactively go back in history and
undo all of it.
Kill the creators of Vine.
Okay. We're moving on to verse 4.
We got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburb.
Yeah. Is that a time jump?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be in the future, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because she sounds distinctively less hopeful now.
They're definitely together at this point and hoping to get out of...
Her and this Bichon?
Yeah.
This millionaire Bichon?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Her and the eccentric toy breed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's working...
Now no longer at a convenience store, but as a checkout girl at the market.
Yep.
And they live in a shelter.
And they still do use the car. There's nowhere to... They can't escape, but they do cruise around for entertainment, but...
Which also makes you wonder... They don't have a job. The car owner doesn't have a job, but they just go cruising in the car. That doesn't sound like maybe, I don't know. It sounds like there's some priority issues there.
Oh, certainly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is not a good partner.
I also really appreciate buy a bigger house. Because if they're living in the shelter, I would infer there is no house to begin with. So her dreams are still so big, she wants a bigger house. There's something really optimistic in a way about that that is kind of soul crushing.
Oh, big time.
To maintain a big dream even when you're so down on your luck.
Yeah.
I'm getting pretty sad, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I mean, again, the hope in her voice is really beautiful.
Her voice at large is really beautiful.
Yeah, oh my God.
So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us. Your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belong. I had a feeling I could be someone. Be someone, be someone.
It's very sad.
It's so sad. And she also, structurally, I love the way she plays with the song. So the first three verses, I'm kind of guessing, are like from the same time. Then she gives us a chorus and she fasts forward a bit. Then we just get one verse this next time before she goes straight back to chorus. And the chorus is virtually the same. Speaking of the same, I'm going to change it up.
Okay.
This is the last episode.
Okay.
With me anyway. I don't know, again, what's going to happen after this, but I'm done now. And so in the nature of nihilism, I'm going to throw now to Marissa, the super producer who has been with us for 2.5 years. Because Marissa has a little tidbit reflecting on this podcast that I would like to hear about. Oh, so, wow. Wait, want to hear the little sting I made for her?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. Wow, Meow, thanks for that amazing intro. As this is Meow's farewell episode, I want to reflect on some of my favorite moments from the show. And one moment I wanted to mention that has actually kind of developed into this secret ongoing joke of the podcast is the fact that at nearly every single Punch Up the Jam live show, the voice of God, who is the person who works at the venue who comes out on the live speaker to introduce the show, they would confidently introduce the show as Pump Up the Jam.
And let's hear it for Pump Up the Jam!
And the fact that the show would be so confidently introduced incorrectly would just make me laugh so much. Here, check out how this live show was introduced.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Punch Up the Jam.
Oh my god, to see this happen live and to see Demi and Miel's face as they enter the stage is so funny. Anyways, I love you, Miel. Thank you so much for acting as kind of like a big sis to me and giving me advice and always making sure I was taken care of in LA. You've also been just such an incredibly respectful podcaster to work with. Like, you've just been so respectful of my time and my work into it, which is just really, really sweet. And I really, really appreciate that. And you've done just such a great job with the podcast solo. And you should feel really, really proud of that. Because when this podcast was pitched to me initially, as someone with no musical background whatsoever, the concept just seemed impossible to create a punch up every single week or every other week. So the fact that you've managed to pull that off solo is just incredible. You're amazing, Miel. I love you. I love Chris. I love Moose. I love everyone on board with the show. And I'm really going to miss this. And I'm going to miss us.
Thank you, Marissa. I don't know what you said as it was laid in post, but I'm very excited to listen to it. And hey, you know what?
I knew what you said.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I have this ability. I hear post. It's synesthesia, but for, yeah, stuff that gets added after.
Can I speak to Marissa for a moment, everyone?
Oh, yes, sir.
Hey, Marissa. I love you.
That chair squeak was kind of conspicuous at the end there. Really vulnerable stuff.
You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. Still drinking late at the bar. Some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together.
Now tell me that she's not saying I'd always hope for a Brita in that line.
I'd always hope for a Brita.
This is casually a Christmas list.
I remember thinking, that's not... Seems kind of a low stakes.
Oh my god.
Desire.
So she time jumped again after this last chorus.
Yeah.
And now I presume this is a partner and they have children together.
They do, of course.
You gotta... And she did. She got the job. She can pay all their bills now. Mm-hmm. So financially, she is stable.
Yeah.
But now the partner is just drinking, wasting all of her money, not seeing, I presume, their kids. I'd always hoped for better. And then the next line I'm going to play in a second. Thought maybe together you and me'd find it. I got no plans. I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. I hate a story song. It's too sad.
Yeah.
This character is probably still out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Raising kids with the same deadbeat dad that she had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm afraid.
And then
so.
If she eventually does get access to somebody else's fast car or even slow car and does skip town, then her kids are perpetuated to continue the same cycle she was stuck into by taking care of their alcoholic father. And then they rewrite their songs. You got a fast hoverboard from the future.
Yeah.
You have fast roller skates that are powered by Elon Musk somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it!
It's also like, yeah, stay out drinking late at the bar, see more of your friends than you do your kids. It's like,
We all know people.
Yeah,
like that.
It's like
so real.
It's not that bad. Well, I mean, it's obviously like unlivable, but it's like it's just so believable.
It's also like such a common silent suffering.
Totally.
You know, it's not as dramatic as that's like what, other ways yeah, of suffering, but exactly. It is still deadly and painful and horrible.
Yeah.
And it's just so I'm not going to clip the next part because I want to listen to it all completely.
Mm-hmm.
The end of this verse goes into that chorus, the same chorus.
Okay.
But then the final refrain, she has one more refrain at the end of the song. It's how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
The very last line of the song, I'm going to tell you now. And then we can just listen to it in real time as it plays.
Mm-hmm.
She changes it. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? It's no longer we.
It's you got to make a decision.
You got to make a decision.
Yeah.
And I want to know, is that directed towards the partner or is that directed towards herself?
Whoa, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Okay, let's listen to it.
That's really cool, yeah.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Seriously.
101 comprehension at Tufts University. Thank you so much.
It is cool.
This is my graduation from another podcast. I learned how to use my brain a little more, so that's fun, huh?
I don't usually analyze the lyrics like that. I just like
a listen. Song like
I
this.
I just listen to it and it just punches me, or doesn't even punch it. This soothes me usually, but now I'm deeply sad.
This is called The Jam Punches You. This is how the podcast ends. You just got punched by the jam.
It sounds like a university. Punch up jam you. Yeah, that's what you're going to open?
I said what
surprise.
I do next is a secret. Please
surprise,
keep
punchers.
It to
hey, pinchers.
Okay, so here's all of that verse, chorus, refrain together. And we're going to listen to it together and let it wash over us together. And we're going to wash away with it like the tide going out. You can't stop it.
You're
going
to learn how to clip songs. You're going to learn to talk about how your brain is broken.
Shut the fuck up.
You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. Still drinking late at the bar. Some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving.
Maybe she doesn't want to go anymore.
Well, I think that, yeah, you do realize that escape probably isn't really the answer.
So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights stay out before. Arms and legs wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. Someone. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
She gives us hope by continuing the lick.
But she's also revisiting her hope. And I think she, like that last chorus is like, it's really, really electric with hope. And I think that like, if that remembering that feeling, the feeling of hopefulness sometimes, of being able to be somebody, it's, you know, tapping into that can mobilize you for your next big move, whatever she's doing. So like, I don't know. I think that story is very sad, but I do have hope for the protagonist of Fast Car.
What do you think the hope is, though?
I mean, she's a hardworking person. What is that?
I'm just smashing my iPhone, getting too distressed that we're nearing the end of the episode. Do you mind if I, as a grand finale, smash my iPhone on air? I'm sorry, I want to hear more about the hope of the protagonist of the song, but while you do that, would you mind if I smash my iPhone?
You know, I guess I always kind of linked the protagonist so closely with my idea of Tracy Chapman that I felt like singing about it was the redemption that she needed to like break out of that life, you know? But clearly it's a story, so I hadn't really thought that one through.
So you thought this was Tracy Chapman?
I knew that it wasn't.
You thought Tracy Chapman was stuck with some man and some children and it's like, someday I'll stop this.
You know how you
while playing
really...
Wembley Stadium.
I guess that's just what I kind of put it in my head as.
So I wrote this song, Fast Car, and I got out without hitting the fast car after all.
Yeah. That's
and that's
right.
The risk you take when you write a story song is people think you're writing from your own perspective.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of confidence, but I'm not surprised that she did that because this song just breeds confidence, in my opinion, musically. I mean, do you know how fucking bold you have to be to do so little production-wise, to leave it so sparse,
to leave it
so open and so empty, to write so many verses before the confidence you have that your audience is going to keep listening until that chorus finally does come in?
And it's crazy how much it means to so many people too. Like whenever I talk about it in everything that I use it in everything that I do.
I know you do because some of the Patreon comments said they found the song because of you.
That's amazing, but I am obsessed with it, and people have the same, like so many people are so obsessed with it, and it's one of those things that's like, yeah, it doesn't have any bells or whistles or anything, and it's just
it's perfect.
So fucking perfect.
And it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we've arrived at the part of the show where we listen to Rob Moose's clip.
Oh, great.
I'm scared. This is the last one.
Okay.
I'm really scared.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I'm scared it's going to make me cry, and I'm going to cry on it.
That's okay to cry.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can have Marissa cut it.
Okay, I'm hitting the clip.
Okay.
Wow, they really speed up when the vocal comes on. Do me a favor, cue this song up and play the ending and then start it over. You'll see. Oh, wait, I can do that. Okay, check this shit out. Here's the ending. Here's the beginning.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Real talk, it gave me a small panic attack to hear the tempo adjustment at verse one. I appreciate that Tracy is all method about it and is like, you guys, I'm singing about a fast car, can we fucking go? But it takes me back to the first group I got to tour with, Anthony and the Johnsons. The singer now goes by the name Anoni, and if you're not familiar with her music, do leaf through the entire catalog. I feel like she has been my greatest teacher, and there is no other music that sounds like hers. But the reason I bring her up is because she had a thing about rhythm. Every beat kind of had its own character and shape, and we used to do these concerts with orchestras, and I would conduct them, and I still have scars from trying to impart these idiosyncratic rhythmic feels to well-meaning but largely uninterested European instrumentalists. Anyway, Tracy's band passes the Anoni tests. It happens right at To Anywhere.
I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal.
I wonder, were looks exchanged? Speaking of looks, now, with a little distance, I can say that my favorite version of this in my tenure with Anthony and the Johnsons was when I would notice my bandmate, Thomas Bartlett, suddenly playing faster than I was conducting, and I'd turn to my left to look at him, aghast that we were coming apart, and he'd sort of subtly nod his head in our leader's direction, and I'd be like, oh, and then try to churn the butter a little faster. All I'm saying is, there are lots of dynamics in the feel of a band, and clearly I don't have enough to say about this song because I'm projecting past musical trauma onto this little coffee shop number. Okay, but I feel like I have to kind of roll with this digression because, you know when JVN lets someone else cut the hair? This song feels so sincere that I don't feel comfortable trying to really take it apart. It has plenty of sections which might normally tickle me, but I'm not sure there's that much of a higher purpose here. It just feels like it was kind of written in a stream of consciousness a little bit. And I don't want to unnecessarily ascribe meaning to stuff that's just intuitive, you know? Also, how beautiful is her voice? I honestly never heard another song of hers besides Give Me One Reason, and I'm just taken aback. Okay, I thought of something. I think one of the really potent things about the track, aside from the super intense lyrics, are the little spaces between the verses. Like that verse about the old man, we just run off a cliff. There's so much in that, the drinking, the abandonment by the mother, the protagonist stepping up and dropping out of school to take care of him. The words come 90 miles an hour, and then the verse is just over, and the same guitar pattern continues as if nothing has happened. It's really effective. There's definitely like a Joni Mitchell influence in the composition of that guitar part, but actually in terms of the purpose it serves, it reminds me more of what John Lennon was doing in Dear Prudence, where it's just this thing spinning around over and over again, and no matter what they put on top of it or where the song goes, that's the anchor. And I love that there's this through line in this track. Kind of inconclusive and a bit incoherent, but guys, it's 2020 and I'm just trying to keep it together. You know, who am I to talk about this song or any other? The reason I wanted to do this segment was to share little insidery tricks to help expand the way you all listen or to help you understand why you like something or why you dislike it. To provide a little clarity through analysis. But I really want to be positive and be an open listener, no matter how much training I may have. So Against All Odds, and Closing, Tracy Chapman, You Broke Me.
And it's so true about like what you were saying about like the cycle, like the repetition of it, and you like doomed to repeat the whole thing over and over.
Musically
and
lyrically.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And that segment, I mean, I'm so not surprised it brought up personal stuff for Rob too. I think what you're saying about it affecting everyone in a different way, it does. A song like this just inspires you to look at your own experiences and find the similarities.
Yeah, I'm blown away that Rob watches Queer Eye too.
I'm blown away by that tempo thing.
That's crazy.
I never have noticed.
It's fucking brilliant, yeah.
But of course,
that's why you feel like
yeah, it's getting
suddenly
faster.
Desperate.
I'm in the fast car too.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh God. Okay, here we go. Ha! Woo! It's the final punch up. Mm-hmm. And I know people are gonna be pissed no matter what. People are always gonna be pissed. So to you I say, okay. To everyone else I say, it wouldn't be right to do a final episode without bringing back longtime collaborator on this pod, Ian Edgerly, for one final collab. But what's the thesis? The song perfect, huh? Exactly the notes I gave him. My only qualm is because this song came out in 88, there's a lot of younger people who just don't know it. And I would say that perhaps with the rates of like unhoused people and fucking vast disparity in financial stability in this fucking country right now, there's never been a better time for this goddamn song, you know? This is more and more people's story now. So my only goal was, how do we make sure Gen Z knows this song, right?
Yeah.
And then also punch it up, I guess, because...
We could send it to them.
Everybody... This episode and this episode alone, write into punchofthejam@gmail.com only if you're Gen Z, and I will exchange send you a link to the YouTube video for Fast Car.
I saw some Gen Zers earlier. I could probably go get them still.
Okay, first of all, Zoomers. Second of all, don't need to, because now with this punch up, they're going to find it themselves. If there's one thing Gen Z is good at,
they're
it's...
not Zoomers, they're Zekers.
So Ian made this
they're
song.
Zappos. Zappos? Oh, you can't.
You wanted the floor you're getting at. What was that?
I was going to say something about the website, Zappos. And I couldn't think of how to pluralize it because it ends in S. And puddle of urine collects on ground.
So here's what happened, okay? I was like, hey, can you make this like a Gen Z anthem? So Ian made it sound like it was meant for TikTok. But behind my back, he went through and added little clips from the show as like a final little send-off.
Oh, wow.
I've only listened to it once.
What a backstabber.
Absolute backstabbing move from Ian Edgerly.
What a treasonous move.
Make me cry on my own pod. Yeah. So here it is, the last ever punch-up, the Fast Car finale.
Like a Rob Moose term. The Fast Car finale.
Rob Moose gets a little play in this too.
Does he?
Okay. Yep. Okay, here we go. This is the TikTok version of Fast Car. Blasphemous in premise.
With the Joni Mitchell ferality and the Fast Car finality.
You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. And a place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Myself, I got nothing to prove.
I can already see the TikTok dance.
I can't. It's barrel rolls.
You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been looking at the thing in the store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border.
A loop out of the first two chords of this progression, and if you listen closely in the introduction, you can actually hear where the loop starts and stops.
See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says body's too old for working, body's too young looking like his. My mama went off and left him, wanting more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. I quit school, that's what I did. So remember when we were driving in your car, speed so fast it felt like I was drunk.
City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone.
Sure is.
So, au revoir.
We'll see you on the flip side.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you usually on podcasts I say goodbye?
Yeah.
That's my Chainsmokers funeral. I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. Fuck.
Wait, I have to put my phone on airplane mode. There's too many Gen Zers calling me right now. The Zappos generation. Okay. Well, I remember the first episode I did, and you were making all those sound effects, and I was like, "Who is this? Who is this lady?"
That's the only thing. Funny. The only thing that Punch Up was missing was a Chris Fleming drop in. But since you're the guest on this podcast, I guess.
Oh, you didn't hear my pitter patter. You didn't hear my
Ian,
shoes on the roof.
Ian added some of your boba slurps into the background. Hoo-wee. That makes me
stop drinking it. That should be the last episode. Is all the cuts of you, that you've taken out. Stop drinking it. Marissa doesn't want to have to edit it. You're not hurting me, you're hurting Marissa. All right. Well, yeah. Whew. Thank you for having me on as many times as you have. It's been an honor. You've been really, really fun to talk with. And you're very, very, very funny. You're very talented. And stop. You did such a really, such an amazing job with the whole show.
Thank you.
Yeah. And people are going to miss it. I'm going to miss it.
Please don't try to cut the show off early, Chris.
You can't punch this.
Oh. I forgot. Please, we have to?
Okay. You want
to
know what mine is?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sick Jan by Chris Fleming!
Oh my god.
It's perfect.
Sick Jan, we don't have to claim a home office. If it means we'll both go to jail.
Christopher, I'll do it for you.
What? No. Why?
I'm happy to do this.
Maybe forgetting that I may have already made that Unpunchable Jam. But if I haven't, Sick Jam by Chris Fleming.
Mine is I'll Be Holding by Miel Breda.
Ah! Yikes!
Giving up don't feel right. Cold light, dead eye. Giving up don't feel right. Last time on my mind.
I got that! Windows down in your box. Okay.
And mine is, who is that?
What? Bobby McFerrin? Finally!
No, that was Tuba Toothpaste.
Tuba Toothpaste!
And his song is Bobby McFerrin. Bobby McFerrin. So, yeah.
Right, Tuba Toothpaste hit single, I'm Bobby McFerrin.
Don't forget me.
So this is the last part. This is it.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Congratulations, by the way.
On what?
On doing finishing the show.
Thank you.
It's really exciting.
It feels really stupid to make a big to-do about ending a podcast since they're so everywhere now, but it has been a long journey, and yeah. I feel like if you go back and listen to an early episode, which I will never personally do, but if someone did...
Weren't you listening to that right before we called?
Wasn't that my top 15 on my Spotify Wrapped?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't do that.
Okay.
If you were to listen to an old one and then compare it to a new one, I think you can audibly hear that I'm like grown as a person throughout the course of doing this podcast. And I do want to say, too, if I haven't already... It's really changed how I feel like I am. I think I started this a more cynical person.
Oh, yeah.
Much more critical, much more pessimistic about music and like just taking the low-hanging fruit and dogging on shit, you know? And like at this point, it's just like, you know, and that's part of why I kind of think you have to stop. I don't want to be critical anymore.
Well, it's hard to be funny and when you're analyzing something and not have that critical angle sometimes.
It's sometimes the only way to make it funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Is to pick it apart.
And then you feel like a dick and doesn't feel good.
Right.
And you're not making anything, you're just destroying things.
Yeah, right. And I want to refocus my energy on making more things.
And destroying them yourself.
And then destroying them myself.
You ever read Burn This by Langford Wilson? It's about that. It's really good.
I know who Andy Goldsworthy is, though. And I think that's the same concept.
Yes.
Which is why at the end of this episode, I have attached bombs to both me and sent one to Chris, and we will both be blowing up. But I gotta say thank you to so many people.
Yes.
First and foremost, everyone who's ever fucking listened. Mm-hmm. Even if you hated it. Even if you're the person who tweeted at me this week, a very big fuck you to Spotify for suggesting the podcast.
I don't think you need to thank them.
Who is this at Miel girl and why is she existing?
You don't need to thank them.
No, I am. I am thanking anyone because you know what? There's so many podcasts out there. There's so many ways to spend your time. And for even spending 1 minute with me, what a fucking honor. And I gotta say thank you to fucking Marissa, who, if I had more in me at the end of this long, long year, I would have made a whole tribute just to her. Marissa has been editing this podcast, producing this podcast, and generally being a good friend of mine for many years now. And I don't think I could have done it without her. How many phone calls she's wielded from me where I've just been like, Marissa, fuck! And she just has to calmly walk me through. Marissa, how many times I've put her on the spot to add in a drop-in of herself when she hates hearing her own voice?
When she could have been doing Beat Saber instead.
When she could have been playing Beat Saber like an absolute champ.
Yeah.
You're
doing great. You're doing great.
I gotta thank the Patreon. Not that mm-hmm. I prefer people who pay me, but the financial support I got from the Patreon all these years has really enabled me to... I mean, the Patreon really helped me weather losing all this work this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking incredible mm-hmm. that a bunch of people that don't necessarily have a ton of extra money to be throwing around are donating it to someone to support the arts. I mean, if you can call a podcast the arts.
You can't.
Okay, so I take that one back. Sorry about that. I have to thank Rob Moose. I mean, I already did on the last episode, but like he approached me this year and was like, I want to be a part of this. And I was like, I don't think you understand what the show is. You don't want to be a part of this. And he was like, no, please, I do. And honestly, listening to his segments, whether or not I agree with him, it's just been so fun. It just has felt like such support to have a team, you know? Because sometimes in the world, I think I said this on the Patreon, but it's like, especially making content online, it feels like you're throwing a stick off a bridge and then running around the other side to see if it floated down the stream and it's just gone already, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so immediately disappearing and such diminishing returns. And so to have like a community of people making it and a community of people listening to it, which gets me to my next person to thank, mm-hmm. and that is everyone who's ever helped me with this fucking show. I mean, all the punch-ups my brother did with me, Marie, my dad coming on so many times, fucking Demi, of course. I never would have done this without Demi and all the work he put into this. Fucking HeadGum for taking a chance on us. But also, and lastly, Chris, you. I know I thanked you a bit at the beginning, but when this pandemic hit and I just moved to a new city, sorry to get vulnerable for a second, but if I can, like... my apartment immediately became like a Stockholm syndrome relationship, and especially in New York in March, like I can't explain how fucking scary it was to be there at that time, especially away from everyone I know, with a few exceptions, unable to see anybody or really go out, waiting 3 hours in line to get groceries that were the shelves were wiped. You know, like that was like crazy. And for you to just be like, hey, I'm going to help you and I'm going to take this on with you and I'm going to do this with you, even though you, of course, are going through similar shit. We all are. We all were. Yeah, I mean, that vote of confidence in me and the support you've brought to the table, all the punch-ups you helped me write, the fact that you're still here with me at the end doing it, like, I don't think I'll ever be able to adequately thank you. I'm going to cry for doing that with me. So thank you.
No, thank you. No, it was really fun. And it was, and it was really important for me, too. It was, yeah.
Really important for you.
No, it was. I mean, no, I think that it helped me take my mind off things a lot. And it was, yeah, and because I don't think I would have been making stuff by myself for like those months. So it was very sweet to have something to help out with. So
some structure
and something that I admired. So it was really fun to be able to do that with you. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah. And God, I don't know what else to say. Thank you, everybody. And I'm going to go now and sleep for 5 years.
Thanks, everybody.
And I guess I'll hit that end theme one last time. Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey.
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.